I want to turn to a very well-known passage in Matthew and chapter 11 from verse 25. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that season, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and understanding, and didst reveal them unto babes. Yea, Father, for so it was well pleasing in thy sight. All things have been delivered unto me of my Father, and no one knoweth the Son save the Father. No one knoweth the Son save the Father, neither doth any know the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son willeth to reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I think this passage, especially verses 28 and 29 and 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, is generally thought of as a simple word to unsaved people. Here is a glorious text for an evangelistic meeting, for an evangelistic message, seeking to reach those who do not know Christ. Those who are heavy laden and find life arduous and difficult and problematical and so on. And I have no doubt that it is absolutely right. But I am quite sure that when the Lord Jesus spoke these words, there was something far, far deeper than just our conversion. For instance, it seems to me, if you look at some of these verses, that it is the whole question of discipleship that lies behind this invitation. Look at verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. It's not just conversion, but what God means our conversion to lead to. What in fact the Lord Jesus Christ means in saving us. What his design is in bringing us to himself. Look again at verse 29. Learn of me. And then turn back to verse 25. Thou didst hide these things from the wise and understanding, and didst reveal them unto babes. In other words, this is not just a question of natural maturity, natural adulthood. This is a question of the Holy Spirit revealing something to us. So that the whole basis of this education, the whole basis of this learning of Christ is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. See verse 27. No one knoweth the Son save the Father, neither doth any know the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son willeth to reveal him. In other words, there is here an emphasis on learning or education, spiritual learning of Christ by revelation. I suppose, really, the basic thing that most of us note about these verses is the word rest. And I suppose this is the thing that finds an echo in every human heart. And the farther you've gone, and the more you know of this world, and the greater the experience you've got of the complexity of life, the more this little word, this four-letter word, rest, the more it somehow awakens an echo, perhaps a wistful echo in our hearts. Something in us responds, reacts immediately to the word rest. Because we all need rest. Rest is the basis of health, the basis of sanity, the basis of ability. You cannot really cope with something when you're not relaxed. When you're all geared up and all tense, you're in danger. But when there's rest, when there's a relaxation, you're able to cope with things much more easily. It is therefore an interesting but very sad fact that we discover so few Christians who know much about rest. How many Christians really know this rest? Is it just to do with something initial? We come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and at that moment we find a rest in him. And then after that, as we go on with the Lord, we find the Christian life is laborious, arduous, difficult, filled with problem, somehow always on top of us, too much for us. And I often hear Christians sort of talking along this line, well, you know, it's too much for me. I can't go along to that Bible study. It's too much for me. I can't cope with the problems in my office. The man's too much for me. Or someone else speaks of some difficulty with employees. They're too much for me. Other people speak of life being too complex for them. Oh, if it was only all simple. But that's exactly what the Lord Jesus said. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is precisely what the Lord Jesus promised to us, that the life he would bring us into would be simple in every way. Therefore, I think that in the little time we have, we might be enabled to learn something from these words of our Lord Jesus. It falls naturally into two parts. First of all, we have the promise. Now let's just look at this promise. We have this glorious promise which we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19 and 20 is yes in Christ and through Christ the Amen. How many soever be the promises of God, in Christ is the yea, and through him is the Amen to God's glory. Well, now then, let's look at the first promise, first part of the promise. Verse 28, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. That's the first part of the promise. We have this glorious promise from our own Lord Jesus Christ. I, not another, but I myself will give you rest. Now the second part of the promise, verse 29, ye shall find rest unto your soul. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. Yoked together with him. Yoked together with him, learning of him, we shall make a discovery of rest for our own souls, not just to speak in the office to other people who are in great need and find life arduous and say, oh, Christ is the answer, when we ourselves know jolly well that we are finding it too much. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. Whoever has taken this yoke upon him or upon herself will find rest unto his or her soul. You'll not just find it for others or point others to it or be able to declare that there is a rest for the people of God, but you shall find it for yourself. And isn't it rather lovely that the Lord uses the word soul? All our trouble is in our soul. If he'd said, ye shall find rest unto your spirits, maybe some of us would have felt that was above and beyond us. But he says, ye shall find rest unto your soul, that seat of your personality, the place where your emotions are that get so easily disturbed, the place where your brain power is, in a sense, your mind, your rationalizing faculties, where you get so easily disturbed. Suddenly your mind starts to think and turn it over and over before you know where you are. It's all so complex and so difficult. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, the place of your will. All the battles we have over our will. There you shall find rest unto your soul. Rest unto your souls. Here then we have a twofold promise. I will give you rest. Ye shall find rest unto your soul. I will give you rest as you come unto me. And as you take my yoke upon you and learn of me, you shall discover rest. The third part of the promise, verse 30. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. There's a promise. A promise. Now, therefore, we have to say that to ourselves this. If I am finding the yoke of the Lord heavy, if I find that it's making my neck sore, my shoulders sore, then there's something wrong somewhere. The promise is my yoke is easy. It sits on you easily. You don't have sores. If you've ever seen in the East, any of you who've been there, an animal badly yoked, as sometimes is the case, an animal has died, and instead of adjusting the yoke or getting a new one, the old one's put on a new animal, you will see the most terrible sores on that creature's neck and shoulder. The Lord said, my yoke will sit on you easily. It won't cause any irritation, it won't cause any rubbing. It won't cause you pain or difficulty in that way. My yoke is easy. That's the promise. I will give you rest. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden light. Now the Lord again was speaking about carrying burdens. He was thinking again of the animals of burden, burden-bearing animals in the Middle East. They were the creatures that were used mostly for carrying burdens, heavy loads. And the Lord says, his promise is, that my burden is light. It won't be too heavy for you. He has made an appeal to those who labor and are heavy laden. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now, that immediately brings me to ask a question. What is this rest? What is this rest? Does it mean rest from labor? That's how most people think of it. We sing hymns about something about work, now to work, to war, and something else, and then to rest forever. And the idea we all conjure up in our minds is that we shall be tucked up in bed. And clean sheets, heavenly sheets, and there we shall rest. We get the word flowery beds of ease. Some people's idea of heaven is just that. no labor, no burden at all to be carried, no responsibility on our shoulders, no having to think, but we'll just sit there in a kind of eternal vacuum. And every now and again we'll have a time of worship and praise. But that's not what the Lord says here. His invitation is to come, those who labor and are heavy laden, to come. And then he immediately says, don't get it wrong. Don't get it wrong. It's not that you will get rest when I will give you rest. It's not that I will give you rest from labor, rest from responsibility, rest from going through in the purpose of God. No, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. There's labor. There's responsibility. The service. There's work. The yoke spoke of only one thing to anyone in the East, as it would have done in the old days here. Work. There's a work to be done. There's a field to be plowed. There's something that's got to, a job that's got to be fulfilled. So it's not, this rest is not rest from labor, rest from responsibility, rest from having to as it were, serve. Far, far from it. No. This rest is the discovery in Christ of divine resources, of divine wisdom, of divine power, of divine fullness, of divine direction, that will mean that in all the labor and all the responsibility and in all the service, we have a deep, deep peace that no one can take away. Now I say it to myself. How few of us who serve the Lord, how few of us who are workers together with God know anything of this rest. And do you know why we don't know much about it? Because we've not learned to come unto him. We've not fulfilled the conditions. We seem to think it's just something to do with our initial conversion. We came unto the Lord 20 years ago. We came unto the Lord 15 years ago. We came unto the Lord 30 years ago. We came unto the Lord 10 years ago. We came to the Lord 5 years ago. Now we've come to the Lord and that's that. Before we know where we are, we're all sort of leading our own lives, directing ourselves quite independently. Oh, anyone who challenges us, we would tell them straight away, Christ is the answer. And when we listen to the news or see the news on television or read about it in the newspaper, we say, this world will never know peace till Christ comes. But our own service is laborious, arduous. We have a constant gun battle with the Lord. It's a kind of hate-love relationship. Why does he ask me to do this? Why does he ask me to do that? Why should he direct me into this? And so on and so on. No rest. The promise is clear. The promise is that we will discover in Christ divine resources and divine power and divine direction. And in making that discovery, we shall find rest to our souls, a glorious and holy detachment, which will enable us not to be beneath, but above. Not to be the tail, but the head. Not to be under, but on top. That doesn't mean to say at all, by the way, that you will not many, many a time go under. Oh, that's why you will discover the rest of the Lord. You see, the Lord tried to teach his disciples this simple little lesson when he went to sleep in the boat. Could there be any picture of absolute and divine rest than when the Lord Jesus took a pillow, put his head on it, and went blissfully asleep like a newborn babe, better than some newborn babes. and all round a storm. Oh, the disciples, at first they wouldn't waken him. No, 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 don't waken the Lord. It's all right, we'll cope with it, we'll cope with it. But they couldn't cope with it. Finally, they shook him roughly and said, don't you even bother that we're all going to die. We're going to be drowned. And he got up very quickly and seeing the panic, he did the only thing he could do. He stilled the storm in an instant. And then he turned to them and said,
what little faith you've all got. Ever's wrong. Now, I'm quite sure that if you and I had been there, we would have been very grieved at the Lord's reaction. A little faith. Fancy him saying a thing like that. When waves, mountainous waves, were coming right over the boat. Doesn't he know he spent hours bailing out?
He would have gone down with us.
Working all the time. All very well for him to say, you of little faith. Why didn't he
rebuke the storm and save us all the worry, putting us through that neurotic state we all went through?
He could have stopped it. If he stopped the storm afterwards, he could have done it at the beginning. Why didn't he do it? No, the Lord wanted to teach them a lesson.
The lesson was so simple that it's safer to go down to the bottom of Galilee with Christ than to be in a boat without him. Why, he could have raised the whole lot from the dead if he'd wanted to. A little later on, he talked to teach them the story again. He walked on the water. He wouldn't even go in the boat this time for fear that they would do the same thing. This time he walked on the water, the great storm again. They saw him. Now this time they had to learn the lesson, to walk on the storm. And Peter did it. He had rest. He said, tell me to come to you. Come unto me. All ye that labour and heavy labour. Tell me to come to you, Lord. Come, said the Lord. And he went, and as he kept his eye on the Lord, he had peace. He walked on the storm. He walked on the waves. It was only when the storm and the waves got the better of him, and he lost sight of the Lord, that he started to sink. But don't you see, there will be times when we shall know storms, and very big storms. And if the devil knows that we're discovering Christ as our rest and our peace, my, some of the storms he'll cook up. They'll be tropical. But you see, once you've got the rest of Christ, you've made a discovery of divine resources. You've discovered the one who can raise the dead, even if you've got the sentence of death within yourself. You know God who is able to raise the dead. Even if everything is shot about, shot up, shot away from you, about you, from under your feet, you're still in touch with the one who's able to recreate. Abraham found this when he was perfectly prepared to slay his son, believing that he would receive him from the dead. He had peace. He had rest. That's the promise of the Lord. But just let us look at the challenge, or the condition of the promise. What is it? Here we have three things. Verse 28, come unto me. Oh, how often we know only labor without joy, labor without love, labor without power. What a tragedy it is when in our work for God, all the joy and the love and the power go out of it, and all that's left is drudgery. Without him, our service is laborious and heavy laden. The burden's too much for us to bear. Without him. How hardly we learn this simple little lesson, come unto me. You've come to the Lord, but do you come continually? Come unto me. A living relationship with our Lord. Not just an initial relationship, but a living relationship. Day by day, hour by hour. And then we find a rest that turns labor into a labor of love. That means that the joy of the Lord becomes our strength in difficult circumstances. Do notice that it is the promise here, for those that come unto me, I will give you rest. It's not a commodity. It's something that flows out from our risen Lord. Something that comes out of a relationship to him. As we are continually coming to him, so we discover a rest. Oh, that we would bring all the chores and all the labor and all the responsibility and everything else to him. Discover him in that way. The second thing I want you to note is verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. I don't know why, but I have always thought of this as the double yoke. I don't know why that is. It could have been a single yoke, which would mean that the farmer was, as it were, behind. Or it could have been the double yoke. Again, many of you who've been in the East, you will have seen so often the double yoke. It's probably more common than the single. And I've always thought of this as being yoked together with him. It's not that the Lord asks us to do something that he just says far away and directs at great distance, but rather that the Lord is in the yoke with us. It's a double yoke. We're yoked together with him. Take my yoke upon you. Not take the yoke upon you, but take my yoke. I'm already yoked in my Father's work. I'm already yoked in my Father's service. The Lord Jesus is the servant of the Lord. Come in with me. Take my yoke upon you. Take the other part of it. Come alongside. Be yoked together with me. Be a co-worker together with God in his field. Take my yoke. You cannot have rest till you've taken the yoke. That may seem very strange, but all we shall be left with is laborious duty and heavy laden, a heavy laden condition, unless we take his yoke upon us. But when we take his yoke upon us, then we find rest to our soul. What does it mean? No independence. To be yoked together with the Lord means no independence. It's a shared life. Absolutely shared. Bound to him in everything. We're yoked. Where he goes, we go. What he does, we do. We're yoked together with him. It's a shared life. And I think of Psalm 126. Those that sow in tears shall doubtless come again with joy, bringing their sheaves with. If we're prepared to share in the Lord's rejection, if we are prepared to fill up what is left for us of the afflictions and sufferings of Christ, if we are prepared to suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together with him. Share with him. Tears will be turned into joy, his joy. Suffering will be turned into glory. His glory. Take my yoke upon you. Is there not something else here immediately that speaks to us? Something very simple? But these simple things are the keys to so much. It surely speaks of walking in step. If we are yoked together with him and out of step, we are going to be chafed very badly. But if we only learn to walk in step with him, his yoke is easy. It will sit on us so easily if we walk in step with him. And you know, I suppose 90% of our problems, if not 95, perhaps higher, a higher percentage of our problems because we're out of step with the Lord. But if we are only yoked together with him, walking with him, oh, then, whilst we're in step with him, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. He is the one who's taking the main load. He's the one who's taking the real responsibility. Oh, the blessed love of the Lord Jesus, that he should even want us to be yoked together with him. He could have easily done the whole thing on his own. But he has left something for you and I to enter into voluntarily. How hardly we learn it. And how miserable the Christian life is for so many Christians, because they want to retain their independence and they want to tie themselves to their own resources, and they don't want to be yoked. They want salvation without the yoke. And that is the most miserable of all existences. It's laborious and heavy laden. And lastly, you see, the last part of the challenge is learn of me. Not learn the doctrine. Many are good at that. Not learn the method. Many are good at that. Not learn the system. Many are good at that. Not learn the language. Oh, we're all expert at that. But learn of me. And how? How in the school of Christ do we progress from one class to the next? How do we graduate in the school of Christ? By being with the Master. We learn of him all the way through as we get to know him more and more deeply. As we discover him in all the situations he brings us into. As we bear the burden. As we do the work. As we serve God. So all the way through, linked, yoked together with Christ, we learn of him. And learn of him. And learn of him. And learn of him. There's nothing dictatorial about our Lord. What an extraordinary little statement that is. For I am meek. And lowly. You could have thought, if you really sit down and think about it, you could think, well, you could cut that out. Why add that little statement, I'm meek and lowly? There. Put it somewhere else when he's talking about being like a little child. Then he said, I'm meek and lowly. Why say, when take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly? We don't somehow think of teachers as meek and lowly. I don't. I think back to my teachers at school, I can't think of a single one that was meek and lowly. I think to most of us, when we're young and being taught, our teachers are, well, they're like little tin gods. They're dictators. Well, in the good old days. It's all different, I believe, now. But in the good old days, they were vested with a kind of authority. You didn't dare contradict them. But the Lord Jesus says, I'm a quite different kind of teacher. I'm meek and lowly, easily approached, easily entreated on, easy to come to. I'm meek, gentle, and lowly, humble. There's nothing dictatorial about me. I won't sort of force you into the yoke. I let you go your way. If you want to know a Christian life that's laborious and heavy laden, you can have it. You can have it. I'm meek and lowly. But if you will come to me, says the Lord, the one who's gentle in all his dealings and humble in his approach, then you will find rest unto your soul. May the Lord help us each one to fulfill these little conditions. This challenge, come unto me, take my yoke upon you, learn. In so doing, we shall discover that he's the one who gives us rest. We shall discover rest to our souls in a deeper and deeper way. We shall find that his yoke is easy and his burden light. Shall we pray? Now, Lord, we ask thee very simply that thou wilt help every one of us to know in our experience what it is to be at rest. Thy word says that there is a rest for the people of God. Thy word tells us that thy plan is that all of us should come into that rest and not fall through disobedience or unbelief. We pray, Father, that every single one may, by taking that yoke upon us, being yoked together with thy Son, may discover the rest and the peace, those divine resources which are ours in him. We ask it together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.